Blog Talk Radio.
That time again on the Kay Thompson Live Show. My name is Eric. I am the one of the co-hosts of the Kay Thompson Live Show, and you are?
Kay Thompson, and I am the other co-host of the Kay Thompson Live Show. Hello, everyone, and we do have a lot of information for you, you know, talking about a number of things. And Eric, you know, the hottest topic, you know, that story out of Texas, you know, with the police people are going crazy because we've been joking about this for a long period of time. And I do think that it is a organizational thing from state to state. And I've said that before, and a lot of people are talking about that. But we're going to be getting into that a little more later on. But anyway, about this story that hit the news, that's in all the newspapers on television, about this young girl. These kids, you know, who were, what can I say? They were beaten by, you know, policemen in Texas, I think it was.
Right, all right.
For a pool party.
But they weren't beaten. What happened was, it was a cop, you know, that was seemed like he was losing his mind. And was, the girl was thrown to the ground, and she was the one. But, it was an overreaction, and as we've come to find out, a pool party that was in a kind of a community in Texas, from what we see, that obviously had some residents that didn't like to see too many black people at once. And in defense of that, or not really in defense of that type of mentality, but there were, as I saw, at least one African-American gentleman saying there were a few people that weren't invited and crashed the party. And this particular gentleman described it as a few knuckleheads that messed it up for everybody. However, the overreaction of some people that, as I said, don't seem to like to see too many black faces at once, and the reaction towards teenagers, and if you see most of the teenagers, everyone I've seen that happened to be African-American, seem to be well-spoken. Not that that should be the barometer of whether they should receive a decent treatment, but seem to be well-spoken, educated, articulate kids who expressed that they felt that they were being singled out. And if you look at the video, it seems that everybody that the police officer is running after and throwing to and trying to get to sit down and grabbing them by their heads is black. So, from what we understand, that there are a couple of adults that were white men that you see walking around, if you look at the video, that seemed to be directing him as to who was supposed to be there or not. And that's really the problem, because these adults got involved and these kids, and you have the two women who got involved with a fight with a teenager. And, adults shouldn't be engaged in fighting teenagers if they can avoid it. And it's just indicative of some police officers. We're not going to say all, but those that are bad cops. Those that are bad cops are are not really police officers. So because if you look on the video, there's a one police officer who was telling the guys, like, hey, just calm down, don't run around when you see the cops come. And he was trying to be, you know, really relatively reasonable. And this one cop, if you see in the video that he's just running here and there, and he's running all over the place trying to get everybody, and it's kind of like he doesn't know which way to go. He's just running after everybody, and that type of behavior should tell us that he was clearly out of control and obviously emotionally, and threw this 14-year-old girl on the ground, and then had knees on her back. And I can tell you that were I that girl's father, I would be looking for that police officer, particularly now that he's resigned, and really to see what kind of man he is, because he's not deserving of being a police officer. If they're supposed to be the ones to protect the community and have this hero status, and he puts a taint on that. The police chief down there said that 11 officers, 11 out of the 12, behaved or acted according to their training and their protocol, and he was the only one that was out of control. And ironically, he's a trainer of other police officers, and he had some rank, he had some stripes on his sleeve. So he's since resigned, but I hope that he gets prosecuted.
Listen, I'm not letting the cops go off on this. You know, you have some bad apples in there, and they are racist to the bone, okay? And they can't wait for the opportunity to beat on somebody. But, all right, we've seen that in across the country, and it's building on and on and on. It's like it's an organized thing among some members of the police department, period.
Right.
You know, and it's really going to be something that we don't want it to go out of control because, you know, people aren't going to be taking that.
Yeah.
All right, and this guy resigned. He should have been resigned a long time ago because of the fact that it's obvious that he has something wrong mentally. For him to grab this little girl and then throw her around and then have her his knee in her back, you know, what was she doing? They're at a pool party. Wasn't that a community pool party? And some of the white people, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. You're standing there and not saying anything. And it proves that racism, I don't know, it's really not getting that much better. You know, and what we have to do is really speak out against it and be very frank with people and tell them. Because the fact that someday, sometimes, you know, it may get bigger and then you're going to have race riots.
Mm-hmm.
So let's check the stuff now. Check the cops in your department who are really racist. You know who they are. So bring them out. Try to take them out. That's all there is to it before something really seriously happens to some of them.
Right. I believe, like you said, some
anger.
And it's incumbent upon the good guys to get the bad guys in line or actually to eradicate them from the job altogether.
Yeah, they got to go.
And, you know, knowing the history of the United States, I can see that, you know, that perspective being accepted that the cops are there to control the black community. That has been kind of the history when it was illegal to be free black people in the United States. The cops were individuals who enforced the law. So it's kind of something that seems to be passed down. And certainly there is something that's going on, but I don't think it's anything new. I just think we're fine now because of the technology allowing us to see. Because black men used to get shot in the back all the time by police officers that happen to be running away from police officers. So it's nothing new. However, a lot more people are paying attention to it because of technology and are able to see that. And as I said, it's incumbent upon those that might be that are good police officers to check the ones that are out of control. And it just so happened that the ones that were in control this particular one that was out of control outranked them. As I saw in the video, I didn't see the other two that showed up have any stripes on their arm. So it's good that this cop is gone. And, you know, hopefully he will not be able to get another job, which is what they do too. They'll go to another police force and get hired someplace else. So we need to eradicate that. And there certainly has been, it seems to be, if we looked at what happened in New Jersey last weekend at this concert, and we look at Baltimore, and we look at all of these instances, there is a certain treatment that people, young black people, seem to receive from police officers that seems to stick out. And, you know, like you said, we have to correct this or else there's going to be big problems. We have a caller on the line. Caller, your mic is open, and welcome to the Clerk. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Wayne Gilman is on asylum. Wayne Gilman is on assignment, and this is Mal Wolfer. Mal, how are you?
How is everybody? I'm fine today. How are you this evening? How is everybody?
Fine. We're glad to have you on the air again. I know you have a lot of things, you know, to talk about regarding business. But, Mal, what do you think about these cops? And I think it was Texas, you know, with this one cop who went absolutely berserk, who needs medicine, you know, putting his knee on this young black female's back and, you know, really dragging her by the hair and that sort of thing. What do you think about this new thing with cops around the country, you know, really attacking, you know, black people?
Yeah, well, no, well, clearly, you know, it's one of those odd things that happens in nature and in the world where something terrible happens, which raises a consciousness and compels a response. So clearly he was out of control, like his commanding officer said. He was out of control as soon as he arrived and got more out of control, you know, through the video, you know, beyond all reason, true. I mean, like they said, there were 10 policemen there, and for him to have to pull out a gun on people with 10 policemen there was really ridiculous. It was almost like he was possessed by some other entity, you know, to help bring this topic to you know, national attention again and compel a broader response by communities across the country. So
exactly.
Clearly there needs to be, and, you know, in each city, of course, people have had, you know, have acknowledged that there needs to be better interviewing. There needs to be different psychological tests when they recruit these people. And some of the traditional, you know, bringing people in because somebody else recommended them histories, you know, need to be looked at more closely and carefully. And everybody needs to come in as though they're complete unknown and scrutinized more carefully and perhaps longer probationary periods before they're brought in. So the unions, as we know, will resist that. But, you know, I think it's past the point where unions can make a case that their folks need to be protected no matter what.
Exactly.
Well, and also, I agree with you, Mal, that, you know, that it's about the training. And, you know, it's like you said, that we have to stop certain individuals from bringing in their friends and doing the kind of that nepotism that happens on a lot of these jobs. And also, I think that there needs to be a civilian review board in all communities where members of the community are on a board that, you know, when these charges are brought up to against the police officers, that the members of the community are also on a board to evaluate some of these actions, because you can't police yourself. They always want to do their own internal investigations. Nobody believes that.
Yeah.
And that is right. That compromises the integrity of any investigation when somebody wants to investigate themselves and then find themselves acquitted of everything. It's kind of like, reminds me of Chris Christie when he had the lawyer that investigated himself. But that's another story. But that seems to be the way when you're in positions of power, people want to investigate themselves. As far as unions go, you know, unions do what they're supposed to do. They always protect their members at all costs, and they don't care. And if you remember the kind of borderline racist stuff that Patrick Lynch said in New York about Mayor de Blasio because he was speaking up about the murder of Eric Garner, you know, they blindly follow them. And it also falls in line with their mentality of they're there to control a particular community as opposed to protect and serve that community and come in with a calm perspective and see who in that community are the good people and who in that community are the bad people. They just see black, a lot of them, and they assume that all black people are to be controlled and oppressed. And, you know, certainly they're going to find, and they are finding, that not only are a lot of African Americans, but a lot of people of color that they seem to want to control. That happens with Hispanics. That happens with other white people. It also happened with this Indian man who the cop thought was black and walking in a neighborhood because his son lived in the area. And someone called and thought the guy was black, wandering around the area. Well, he was this gentleman's father who didn't speak much English. He was an East Indian gentleman. And if you remember the video footage of this young cop slamming this man to the ground and ended up paralyzing him in such a vicious fashion. So, and that cop got, I believe, fired from the force. But we need to nip this in the bud before they harm, maim, and kill people.
Going in that direction right now, Mal.
Oh yeah, yeah. And as we're on that, then we might as well take it all the way to say that the other responsibility is for people of color. But need to get out and vote at every opportunity in every race, not just every 4 years for president because Obama's running, but they need to vote for the sheriff when there's an election. They need to vote for the city council or the town managers who may have some say-so over who the police public safety manager or the police commissioner is in their town, they need to vote in every aspect of democratic opportunity so that they have more influence. We need to be more proactive in referring and recommending young men to public safety and law enforcement from our communities and or from an adjacent community. You know, we have lots of folks who could be submitted, but often, they aren't. They aren't submitted to be police people in the municipalities because nobody suggested in their council, if you will, in high school or junior college or college, that they look into law enforcement as a career, you know. So we need to advocate to have more people from our communities in law enforcement and then spread the word when applications become available for them to fill out those applications and go to those interviews and hopefully start to develop public safety law enforcement institutions that are more reflective of the population, which was, of course, the big deal in Ferguson. The other thing I would say, and it's a little radical, but when policemen, and this is to be start a firestorm, but when policemen feel that they have to act the way that a few of them, and it certainly is the minority, have acted in the past year, then, you know, when they exhibit that kind of aggressive behavior, they want to be tough, you know, give them 24 hours to pack their clothes and send them off to Afghanistan where they can be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If they want to use their
guns. I know
guns
that sounds radical, but, yeah, you know, yeah. Is that how you are? Let's mm-hmm. send you someplace
some
where...
They want to fight. Because they're only going to be in a puzzle. Between different groups here. You know, when we were on WLIV, and I had an organization called the Guardian, you know, led by Ali Al-Rahman, and,
right.
you know, they were dealing with different problems that the police department were having within themselves, within their organization.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, the police persons were going into Brooklyn really, really, you know, beating up on a whole lot of people. So their job was not only to maintain the police, but also to see that people are treated fairly. Whatever happened to that? You know,
well,
and
right,
as
right.
a woman, as a mother, you know, this is getting really, really bad.
Well,
this is like every day, you hear police brutality. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, no, and you had folks like Ozzie Thompson, who was very much, you know, involved in that in New York for a long time. You have NOBLE, National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Officers, and there are, I think, three New Jersey chapters, as well as a couple
yeah.
in New York who were involved in the same thing. Because, right, the other problem slash issue is the disproportionate number of black police officers who identify themselves and still get shot.
That's true. What was the case of the police officer in New York? Was a detective and he was shot. It was years ago, I think, perhaps in the mid 90s.
Up in Westchester?
I think.
Mm-hmm, sorry.
The one I'm referring to, I believe it was in Manhattan. He was shot.
Okay.
And then they kind of, the publicity story was they had it, the cops who shot him visited him in the hospital. And they took a picture, and the caption and the headline was, it's okay, he forgave the cops. And come to find out, that really wasn't what he did, but it was kind of like the police force putting it out there, making it was like it was okay, and he forgave these guys
yeah.
for hitting him with friendly fire. I forget the police officer's name, but I know that it happened in the early 90s,
yeah.
and it was on the cover, of course, of the Post that kind of made it look like this guy was forgiving this guy. You know, I'm looking
well,
at something... Go ahead.
Oh, no. What I'm saying, well, we appreciate the dynamics of that. You know, there's some realities that we understand. And just as you were saying before, asking a local district attorney to investigate the police force, you know, with which he has to live and his family the rest of their life, you know, like in Staten Island, you know, what do you think you're going to get? Yes, there's going to be no grand jury because we can't find any you know, probable cause for indictment. You know, can you know, certainly that was the thing. Hey, I got to live with these guys the rest, you know, who, you know, what do I do? You know, leave town and move or you know. So there are those realities, and in the face of those realities, and again, you know, friendly fire just happens too often with people of color, you know, badges out, color of the day out, and everything else. And fatally, you know, it's not like even, you know, somebody got wounded to disarm them. So all of these things take more participation, though, on our part from our communities, and voting is certainly a giant step in that direction.
I'm also advocating that people demonstrate and tell us until this kind of stuff is in check, all right, because it's really getting to be really awful once again. And I hate to think of the fact that it's going to cause so much problems, so many problems, you know, in the different communities. But, you know, I think demonstrations are really important. You know, people need to come out, and as you say, they need to vote. But the point is, that takes a little while to go through a process. So you have to go out and you have to vote and to let people know that you're not going to be involved with this. Like the demonstration started in New York and went to Ferguson and a few other places. Come on, you know, you get tired of hearing this. So I don't know what the answer is. But, and plus the fact that gun violence costs Kansas City so much violence, period.
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. As you said, it's a multi-stage process. Certainly demonstrating, you know, the day of and the day after is important to show, you know, the depth and length and breadth of the concern. And then certainly those people who demonstrate working with elected officials to enact some and author some legislation that would change the circumstances that, you know, resulted in the circumstance. And then, yes, it may be a year away or 6 months away or whatever. But then, you know, and then vote for people who represent those interests and who will enact the legislation to redirect, if you will, institutions of public safety and law enforcement and their community, you know, to a different sensibility. So yes, it's a multi-stage. It certainly is a multi-stage process, and it takes patience And that's the way of the world. It's not just, you know, one day and then go off. It's a lifetime, full-time participation for the safety of our communities.
Yeah, because the forces that oppose us, they do make a lifetime out of opposing us. Thinking about them, it kind of causes me to think about what the president said the other day about, you know, thinking about people who spend their entire careers or put so much effort into turning the clock back on progress. You know, you spoke about, you know, we have this case before the Supreme Court where they're trying to use that to bring down the Affordable Health Care Act. And the president said, it's, you know, it's not about me. It's not about Obamacare. It's not about, you know, winning or losing. It's about these Americans who have now received health care. And he said there's something really cynical about people who constantly spend all of their efforts trying to turn back progress. But the rest of that thought is, to me, that there are those individuals who certainly want to turn back progress because they want to go back to how life was 30, 40 years ago when they had preferred citizenship, like I like to refer to it. You know, at one point, for a long time, many white people in the United States enjoyed preferred citizenship. They were the preferred citizens and got all the advantages. And, of course, black people were treated like second-class citizens. People of color were treated like second-class citizens. And as obviously we gained our civil rights or a few more civil rights, there have been those individuals who spent their entire political careers, in fact, trying to devise a way that one day they can get all of that back. You know, it's like one day the South will rise again. You know, and you wonder, which South are you talking about? The South that had black people that made human beings slaves? I mean, what's wrong with, you know, and there's people who want that. They want to go back to that. This is why they cling to wanting to throw up the Confederate flag and make that part of the state flag, because that's part of their heritage. And I got to tell you, and I've said it before, that's part of your heritage is messed up, you know, and there's no two ways about it. And so that's kind of how they flow. Go ahead, Mal.
Yeah, well, no, the other thing I was going to add is, and the great fallacy of that position is that us having nothing will not help them. and nobody's talking about it, and more people should, and in their hearts they know it, that the problem with whatever problems they have, whatever lack of economy they have, whatever lack of jobs they have for themselves and their kids and so on and so forth, that's not because people of color are participating in the job market here. That's because their leadership from their community has sent those 20 million jobs to all of our friends in Bangladesh and Romania and Mexico and China and Taiwan and Vietnam and every place that's on the labels of everything we buy. So that wasn't, black folks didn't do that. Black folks didn't send those jobs out of town. Those were done under NAFTA, CAFTA, and all those other trade agreements. And they need to really look hard at that because we're closer to being their friends and allies in the repair of the American economy than we are their adversaries.
Well, yeah, of course, the average middle-class American or the shrinking middle-class and the working-class American, yeah, but that's very true. And just like in the days of slavery, when they talked about if Negroes get free, they're going to take your jobs. It was those people back in those days who could be considered the 1%. You know,
right?
And what happens is the 1%. Many of them look like these individuals who want to roll the clock back on progress. The Mitt Romneys and the people like that who have offshore accounts, who keep the money in Swiss bank accounts, who want to come and break down companies and be Gordon Gekko, take these companies and break them down and sell them. Unfortunately, many of them look like the rank and file people who follow blindly along, voting against their own interests. And
That's really
unfortunate that they still cling to that preferred citizenship, you know, of being, of having to be a Caucasian individual and thinking that that's good enough. Because, you know, at one time, no matter what your station in life was as a white person, you could always say, well, I'm better, at least I'm not a black person. I would use the other word, but we're trying to get away from
right.
that. So, and now when they find out that that is in fact might not be true, it's kind of blowing their mind. That's why they're reacting the way they're reacting. They can't handle the truth, as Jack Nicholson put it in that movie. So, you know, it's really interesting, and you know, you almost want to feel sorry for this psychological psychosis that they go through. You know, that Obama rage syndrome.
Go ahead.
Almost at the point where that message needs to come from our community to sober them up. You know, we're not your enemy. Whatever you don't have, whatever you just don't have, we did not have the power to take it from you. You know, we did not have the power to break your unions in America. We did not have the power to close down General Motors plants and put, you know, tens of thousands of people out of work and reduce your hourly wage from $80 an hour to $20 and write to work states. We did not have the power to not give money to states in the North that had unions and send it to the South. You know, we did not have the, you know, just go down the list. It's like, hey, y'all, that wasn't us. So now y'all give us the answer of, you know, what now? Now that you understand it wasn't us, you know, maybe you need to set your sights and put all that energy and hate and rage where it belongs.
Yeah. But, Malcolm, I know we're going to leave this for a while because I know that you have some important information about business.
Well,
am I right?
Well, yeah, separate. Well, Eric, I don't know. Are we finished exploring this? Or?
We have another call that maybe might want to just listen in, so we're just going to open their mic. Just
yeah,
so they
sure,
can,
yeah. We're expecting also Sandy Leavis to call, and she's going to be talking about legal services because of the fact that with the numbers of gun violence, you know, and a lot of the actions of the police department, people are going to need legal services, so we're going to be talking to her
in a little while. Well, why don't we go into that right now, because that kind of leads into the legal aspect of what we're talking about, and then we could go to talk about the business opportunities. Sandy, are you with us? I believe your mic is
yes,
open.
Yes, hi. Hi, everybody. How's everybody?
How you doing? So you know what we're talking about, and
yeah.
You know the current situation. Mm-hmm. Legal services is a way that, you know, many of these people, you know, It could be something valuable. Mm-hmm. It kind of works into this conversation. That's why it kind of works into this conversation to have legal recourse to do that. Because when the young girl that was, when the young girl was attacked, when you mm-hmm. part of the video where you see the young black girl whose friends are trying to break her, up, mm-hmm. fighting these two white women that are adults. Those people, mm-hmm. those adults, every adult there that attacked a child should be brought up on an mm-hmm. assault charge. And some of those people might not have legal regress. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about the legal shield, the benefits of them being involved in legal services. Okay.
Right. Well, I think that what it is of course, each of the cases that will probably be brought heretofore, if the participants have ample proof of what happened to them during this party, then I'm sure there'll be several attorneys that will take on their cases because their civil rights appear to be infringed upon. And, you know, as all of you have said, the fellow that was supposed to be the supervisor of the policeman, he's jumping on this young girl, and it reminded me of the story that we had where the young man died, Mr. Gray, and had the spine torn and the severed spine, and then crushed larynx. It appeared the policeman had put his knee into the young fellow's back, Freddie Gray, and this officer looked to be doing the same kind of thing with that girl, like kneeling on her, the back of her neck with his knee. And so I was very concerned about that when I saw it. But anyway, I think that we all know that if any of those people were involved in that particular incident, they need to be talking to an attorney to see if they have civil rights in regard to that particular issue. Because if they don't do that, it's just going to continue. I just feel very happy that there's been so much news exposure because of social media that so many of these cases are coming, you know, to our acknowledgement. And it's making us as people of color aware of things that are going on as rapidly as they are, even though I'm sure years and years we know things happen, but just to keep seeing it almost on a daily basis. It lets all of us know we better have some kind of representation. Otherwise, we'll either be hurt or we'll be in jail. And once you get these police records, trust me, they are very difficult to be expunged. That means getting rid of. So we all need to know, if for nothing else, you know, what our legal rights are and if we can pursue charges against people who are coming at us. And there's so many other things that are going on, too. As you talked about with Obamacare, for people who might be losing those kinds of services and who might be in dire straits in terms of whatever medical procedures that they're in the middle of. Some people have talked about getting chemotherapy, radiation. Yeah. And what are their civil rights? You know, how can they protect mm-hmm. it? And on Al Sharpton's show tonight, he was talking about how many people are on Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. He said 49% are Caucasian, and I believe it was 23% are black, and the Hispanics were just below that mark. So there mm-hmm. are so many people that will be without services. And if mm-hmm. you have some legal representation, if, as I say, for nothing else, you can ask your attorneys, well, what rights do I have in regard to this, if any? And
Sandy.
Yes.
And Sandy, listen, we're going to be dealing with legal services as we go along to let people know exactly what they can, you know, do with legal services. One thing they do need to do is to go to my Facebook and, you know, ask questions. We will get back to them. And because we're going to have you on again, because we need these legal services, okay? When you say so, Mal, you need to go to Mal with business now, because we have to know about that. Also, just let me give this figure. That guns, according to Mother Jones magazine, guns kill 17,000 Americans and injure 80,000 a year. The total annual cost of gun violence in the United States is over $229 billion. Let's get back to what you were going to be talking about business. I knew we had a lot to talk about tonight. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, just in terms of economic development and business, just wanted to, you know, remind everybody there's a company, TMIUM, which is a small business resource cooperative. So that means that there are a number of organizations and entities and companies that have been brought together under TMIUM to support the development and the growth, the financing, the marketing, the website design, the legal and accounting support for people who want to go into business or people who are in business and are looking for help to grow and expand their business via financing, via new markets, via new resources for products that they sell, and also to provide a forum and a venue for joint ventures where folks may be in the same industry and somebody's in Brooklyn, Bronx, New York, Newark, Jersey City, and they'd like to expand their business. We work with them to perhaps pair them with somebody else in the business to create holding companies where the economies of scale work to their benefit the same way franchises do, but in a, you know, at a micro level that's reasonable for small businesses.
Sounds exciting. Is this something new now or something extending from the other business opportunities?
Well, you know, one leads to the other because the participants in that and the members all like healthy organizations and chambers of commerce, for instance, you know, they all are kind of pledged to support the members of the organization. So the folks who provide the services support the members of the organization, and then the other members who are clients of all of the services pledge to support those other member companies first for whatever their needs are.
So you're suggesting what?
Well, I'm suggesting people take a moment, go to the TMIUM.com website.
Is that T as in Tom? Are you saying T as in Tom?
Hold on 1 second. Sorry. Real live background there. Go to the TMIUM.com website and become familiar with the services and you know, give them a call and talk about how to grow and expand their business if they're in business. And how TMIUM can help them start a business if they have an idea and a concept and are looking for investors or partners or people to help them get incorporated and get started.
Uh-huh. Well, this is something
so
really
there are a lot
good
of people. I beg your pardon?
Go ahead. I said this is something really good to hear because if you've been looking for investors and or partners, you know, in a startup business, you know, you can go to TMIUM. Is that on the internet or what?
TMIUM.com. And although the headquarters is in New York, we are working with companies across the country.
Wow. Okay.
So from here to California and every place in between, we can provide services and support because the companies we work with in the cooperative are national, and all the national companies have offices locally throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really
so
good.
Wherever someone in the listening audience is, we have somebody close by.
What type of businesses have taken advantage of these resources?
You know, I got to tell you, it's from A to Z. It's everything from printing companies to small IT programming companies to folks that have clothing stores, to people that provide soft drinks and beverages and wholesale distributors. We actually have folks in medical group practices that we work with who want to expand their practices or need help in accounts receivable financing to make their, you know, their group practices more efficient because of the wait times. Sometimes the group practices have in collecting insurance, and sometimes that, you know, undermines their ability dealing with national insurance companies or governmental insurance, health insurance. And it puts a strain on them, you know, to pay the bills for the 90 or 120 days that they have to wait for the return on the patient that they helped 120 days ago. So it really, you know, goes from A to Z. Attorneys and accountants who work with us become, you know, are referred by us. And, you know, really the cooperative was set up to help everybody, and help everybody, I should say, from really small companies that are doing, you know, 100,000, 250,000 sole practitioners, all the way up to companies that are doing 25 and 30 million, because they need help too.
Is there a number that people can call or they should go to myum.com?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So we can imagine getting a number to that. Sounds good, right, Sandy?
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Because small businesses need legal services too.
Absolutely. Well, they need legal services primarily.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, and again, we're a cooperative and a resource bank that helps coordinate all of the services of businesses. So we're not in competition with anybody. All the businesses and everybody who provides a service or product that would like to become of the consortium, because we market everybody on our website. And if you go to our website, you'll see under various categories lists of different businesses. If a business wants to join and become part of our resource bank, as well as possibly, you know, a client or customer for other resources, we invite them to come and be a part of us.
Wow.
We're trying to be essential. Most small businesses' problem is that when there are only one or two or three people in the business, they're working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and barely have a chance to look up and catch their breath and read publications that apprise them of resources for the help they need, and or they know they need it, but they open up, you know, they go online and effectively, you know, open up a Yellow Pages list of 45 people or 100, and they still become paralyzed sometimes because they have no reference for which one of the 100 people listed they should call.
Exactly.
This is kind of a pooling of resources where businesses could come in and help each other find resources and things like that. Is that correct?
It's that, and because many of the companies we're working with are national companies, we feel that it kind of treats the credibility of the company because they have long histories. And we're not, so, you know, all that figuring out process and the other circumstance, which leaves people having to maybe interview 10 or 15 companies and still not really know, you know, empirically who might be helpful, who has really been as attentive to the, you know, $500,000 a year business as they are to, you know, $15 million a year business. And then they don't do anything, which has been historically the problem. You know, we solve all that problem. And more importantly, we manage for that business all the entities with whom they interact. So they don't have to make 15 different calls to liaise with the services they're using. They just make one call to us, and then we act as their agent to all the businesses that they're interacting with.
Wow.
That is really cool. So it's like one-stop shop. Yeah.
That's
really needed. I'm glad to hear about it.
Yeah, exactly.
TMIUM.com is where people should look, okay? And then also with the review of the legal services that people are going to need anyway to do the various things that they are interested in and need legal services so they can go to Facebook, my name is Facebook, and, you know, we will get back to you at K. Thompson's, Facebook page?
The K. Thompson Live Group, the K. Thompson Live Group Facebook page is what they can go to.
Okay. So, Anything else, Mal, that we're missing? Are you going to be with us again next week to keep us up to date on this? Because some people
I'd love to. There are other things I'm talking. There are other things I'm working with that are small business training classes, with workshop and business opportunities, and ISO, Institute for Entrepreneurial Leadership, that I think a lot of the audience might be interested in. You know, how do I explore going into a business? What's involved in running a business? And where can I get that education at an affordable price that doesn't require me to go to a four-year college or even a junior college or get an MBA? Well, the Workshop and Business Opportunities that is celebrating its 50th year provide 16-week, once-a-week evening classes that introduce people to how to run a business and all the aspects of running a business. And the classes, I think most importantly, the classes are taught by business people. So no offense meant anyplace else, but these are people who are running businesses, generally between $5 and $25 million. So they're not only providing the theory for people who are thinking of going into business, but they're providing, you know, their day-to-day 5 to 30 year real-time experiences in running a business and translating the theory into practice.
Excellent.
All right, that sounds great. That's certainly a good service that is provided that people can take advantage of. TMIUM.com is a website they can go to for more information to get those services provided for their businesses and the resources that are available there to build and grow their business. We thank Mal for once again providing the information for people to you know, get their businesses up and running, and the information, Sandy, also with the legal services they provide. You know, it's not just business people that could use legal services. Anyone who might be a homeowner that might happen to own property that does a lot of that has a small business or does just a lot of kind of independent things. As you know, it's always good to have a legal service to go. And, you know, when you talk about a service that you pay monthly, let me play devil's advocate. When you pay for something monthly, it might be hard for people to wrap their mind around why it's beneficial to do that. And really the bottom line is that it's, you know, the same reason that you might have car insurance or any kind of other kind of insurance. When these emergencies happen, it's good to have some recourse. And what happens with a lot of people, I have a brother-in-law that's a lawyer, and people get in trouble and they have to come to him, and then, you know, they got to pay a lot of money. I mean, he's not cheap and he's good at what he does. But if you have this resource that you're paying a small amount out of it at the time, then you could perhaps avoid coming out of your pocket all at once. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't pay, take on another bill, but you know, you got to do the mathematics and you got to do the budgeting, because sometimes it's better to pay a little bit at a time than one big lump sum, unless you're independently wealthy or you're a millionaire and you can afford to pay large sums of money out of your pocket at one time, then this legal services program might be something that interests you. But as we said, anybody who's interested in that can go to K Thompson Live group show, the K Thompson Live Facebook page, K Thompson Live show group page, or you can go to K Thompson Barrow personal Facebook page and you'll be directed to the information about legal services if you're interested in that.
That's right, because we're going to be giving out a lot of information, you know, for people starting out, you know, so when they started, it's going to be after the summer, in other words. We're going to be giving out the information now, and you can also use it for right after the summer. I'm distracted a little bit because I want to talk to some educators for a minute. I know that a lot of people are looking at books. A lot of teachers are looking at extra books to be included in their curriculum. And I want to mention the Eyewitness book by Bill Katz. A lot of people know about this, and then some people don't. It is such a complete living documentary of the African-American contribution to American history. And we're going to be having Bill on within the next couple of weeks. He's an older gentleman that we had on several months ago. And I was just looking at this one page that I happened to open up to in sense of this violent end of Reconstruction. And they talk about masked night riders such as the Ku Klux Klan that sprang up everywhere to terrorize black voters and their white supporters. Isn't that something that I happen to turn that on at the same time we're talking about some of these, you know, police persons who are racist and they know who they are. So we don't want to get to that particular point, but also you need to get, you know, Bill Katz's book. Those of you who are educated and teachers, you need to look up Bill Katz because he is one of the writers who, you know, really does who specializes in classic fields of African-American history. And he tells an important and dramatic story of black Americans in their own words. He just got finished doing a retake on his Black Indian book and how the Indians, the American Indians, also suffered under, you know, certain restrictions and whatnot. So, thank you, Sandy.
All right.
Thank you, Sandy, for legal services information. And we'll be talking to you again next week. Mal, we'll be continuing to talk to you. Okay?
Okay, thank you, too. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you, Mal. Thank you, Sandy. And we will talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
We should say, too, that Wayne will be back. He was on assignment. So he will be back in a couple of days or next week. And we're going to be talking more about what you need to know for businesses and for, you know, those of you who are in education. If you're looking for books that have more complete history, I'm looking at this one page. We've been talking about Angela Bennett Davis, Professor Angela Davis, who was quite a fighter for, you know, fair practices among the black community. And then it's also an article in here about the Black Panthers, Huey Newton, the Panther minister. And I also have that book on Huey Newton, and it's signed by him, by the way. So all these different stories dealing with people who wanted to just be treated fairly. So we're going to be recommending these books and recommending these books to, you know, teachers and other educators, you know, who may need the information. We're going to be giving out information about Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, and Dr. Len Gunther. So we hope that you will join us again next week. I think we're coming to the end of the show here, where we have some more time. Eric, doing?
We got as much time as you want, Ma, or as little time as you want. We can shut it down now. And you guys have really received a lot of information, but we're going to sign off a little early because my mother went to see her grandson play in a little musical act at the school, and it was quite entertaining.
Yes, it was.
And he is a very talented nephew, as you can imagine that I would put it. And also we want to tell people to make sure that you get out there and be active in your community.
Right.
You support the efforts of community members to make sure that all Americans are able to receive their rights, equal rights, and get treated justly according to the Constitution of the United States, and to always be vigilant in reporting and being involved and letting people know when you see injustice that's occurring. Because had it not been for the young white man who was friends with these African-Americans, kids, who really is someone who wants to live in a world clearly, wants to live in a world where we're all equal. There were two young white people, actually, that were involved. One young white girl who was on one of the MSNBC shows had gotten involved with some of the adults, were calling some of her friends out of their name, making racial slurs. So, you know, we're, as always in this country, there are always the righteous people will stand up, and we need more righteous people to stand up. And it's good to think that this young white teenager was able to catch all of that on video and continue to shoot. And he had the presence of mind to notice that the only people that this particular officer was going after were the black kids. So, and he thought it was necessary to record that moment and to upload that video so for the world to see. And he should be commended for that as being a true American.
It was amazing.
And his parents should be commended as well.
It was so amazing that he took out his gun. You know, that's what really rattled majority of people, because they're just teenagers, these are kids. And for him to take out his gun, that is unheard of. So he has to be punished for that. You know, now I understand that he no longer has that job. He should have left a long time ago. You know, he should never be on a police department. As a matter of fact, you know, he may need help. You know, I mean, psychological help, you just don't do that. But then again, it does show us that, you know, racism is alive and well, and you have to be very much aware of it, and you have to, you know, really, arm yourselves with the necessary information, and we intend to present that information. And we are running out of time right now. We are down to the 2-minute spot, and we thank you for joining us, and you join us again for a lot more information
about
education and a number of other things. Well, okay.
All right, tune in to us at blogtalkradio.com/K-Thompson Live. You can hear the show every Wednesday at 8 p.m., 8 to 9 p.m. You can hear it live. You can call it and take part in any discussion. Or you can also listen to the show at any time you want because it's archived. And certainly, you know, that's always a benefit to be able to listen to things at your leisure. We want to thank Mal Wolfolk, Sandy Rebus for giving us the information today, giving us taking part in this discussion. We'll see you again next week, everybody. I'm Eric Payne. I am one of the co-hosts. I'm usually also, a.k.a., also known as Son. And you are?
The mother of Eric Payne. Jay Thompson here. Join us again, everyone, for Jay Thompson Live.
Pancho Sanchez doing Watermelon Man. Thank you.